Let me invite you to take your Bible with me this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 for our text this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I grew up in a small town in South Carolina, Star, South Carolina. It's about an hour and 10 minutes or so south and a little bit west from Greenville, South Carolina. And small church, country church, we had around 45, 50 people as we were growing up there. When we weren't on the road, we came back home. That's where we would attend church. And, of course, knew everybody, and everybody knew me. And we go back every Thanksgiving. Our family goes back to Star, and my brothers and I, two brothers are evangelists, my sister, her husband is youth pastor at Community Baptist in South Bend. And so we'll all converge down in Star. All the guys go deer hunting, all the girls go shopping, and everybody's happy. So we get together, we have a great time. On a Wednesday night of that week, we have what's called our pie and praise service there at our church, and we will spend the whole service giving testimonies of what God has done, thanking Him for different things. And then after that's done, then we go into the fellowship hall and have pie. It's a great time. Well, every time I go to church there, whether it's that pie and praise service or on the Sunday afterward, I see all the people of the church, and it's really funny how the old ladies of the church like to come and talk to you because they remember me when I was growing up. And one of the things that's interesting to me is when they remember me from when I was a little boy, what is it that you think they remember? What a sweet, obedient, and kind boy I was. Is that what they like to talk about? No. Why is it that all they seem to be able to remember is the naughty things that I did? And sometimes, you know, you want to say to them after they just love. And it's funny because they always come and they always tell you the same story. So I know what's coming. And they tell me the story. And every once in a while, I want to say to them, you know what? I'm 40 years old now. I don't act like that anymore. I don't do those things. I don't pull chairs out from under people. I don't trip people. I'm nicer to people, okay? I can obey. I can sit still. But for some reason, they seem to forget, and all they can seem to remember is what I was. What's interesting is that many times we are reminded, and I think it's good for us to be reminded of who we were before we came to Christ as our Savior. It's not a bad thing. What I think happens many times is this, is we get reminded so much of who we were that we can forget who we are in Christ. We've lost sight of that. What I want to do this morning is I want to share with you from the Word of God who we are in Jesus Christ. But you know, there might be someone here this morning, you may not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can I tell you this? This is not who you are, but it's who you can be. What Christ has done for those of us who are saved and who've received Christ as our Savior, He can do for you. And so today, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with me at verse 9. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous, those people who are not saved, they've not been given the righteousness of Christ, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not have eternal life." He then goes on to say, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God." Look this way, please. Here he gives this big list. Now, it is not an exhaustive list. It's a non-exhaustive list that typifies the sins of people who don't know Christ. He kind of gives all these sins, and if you kind of notice, there are a lot of bad sins in there that people look at and say, wow, that person's an extortioner, or man, they're immoral, or they were a homosexual, or boy, they were an idolater. Those are bad things. Well, you know what the truth is, folks? All of us are sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We've all sinned. We've all broken God's law. We are by our very nature sinners. And he gives this list of these sins that are, like I said, he's not trying to list every sin, but he's just throwing some out there, some sins that are typical of people who don't know Christ. He said, look, people whose lives are characterized by these sins, they're demonstrating they don't have the life of God. They're not saved. They've not been regenerated. But look at the next verse, and this is where our text will be our focus. He says in verse 11, "And such were some of you." Now, I have no doubt in my mind that when this was being penned, that as he was writing this to that church in Corinth, he was writing that in the name and the face of somebody. That guy was an extortioner. That person was homosexual. That person was adulterer. They were a drunkard. They were a reviler. And every sin that's listed here probably had a name and a face attached to it. He said, and such were some of you. You know, sitting out here this morning, there is a chance in this size of this auditorium, you know what, as a man or a lady, maybe you used to be an alcoholic. Maybe your life was characterized by immorality. Maybe you were someone whose life, maybe you said, I didn't worship a God made of stone or of silver, but you were your own God. You worshiped yourself. You lived for self. Maybe you were somebody who reviled God and you blasphemed Him. You took His name in vain and you thought very low of God. And you look at your life and say, you know what, that was me. I found myself in those verses. Well, that's such were some of you. Now look at the rest of the verse. He says, such were some of you, but ye are justified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now I want you to get this. In that verse, there is a very small word that is very key in this text. It's that little word, but. That's reused. He says, but you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. Now that word is very important because that little word, but, is the Greek word Allah. It is, in the Greek language, it's an adversative particle, which simply means this. It is the strongest word that God could use in the Greek language to show the contrast of what something was to what something is. This little word is used to show the great difference that comes in the life of a person who knows Jesus Christ. So he was saying this, this is what you used to be, but now you are this. And he's focusing on who they are in Christ. And where did the change come from? Well, the end of the verse says that it all happened by the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, but if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. The Bible says it in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. When we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we became a new creation in Him, given new life. And the Bible says a supernatural work of God occurred, whereby the Spirit of God regenerated us, gave us spiritual life, washed us from our sins, and gave us life, and we are now a new person in Him. This happens through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where we see who we are in Christ, and if you're not saved, this isn't who you are, but it's who you can be. There's three things He says here. Look with me, please, back at verse 11. First of all, He says this. First of all, He says, you are completely clean. He says, you're washed. But ye are washed. You are completely clean. That word, washed, literally means every part clean. Do you remember the good old days of the Saturday night bath? Remember that? I'd take a bath on Saturday night, getting ready for church on Sunday morning, and I would take my bath, and I'd get out of the tub, and my mom would ask me the most stupid question I think I've ever heard in my life. You know what she'd ask me? Brent, did you wash behind your... not my knees, my ears. You know what I wanted to say? Who cares? It's my ears. Now, it's very interesting. In the eyes of mom, if I didn't wash behind my ears, was I clean? Not even close. I mean, I could be thoroughly washed head to foot except for my ears. If I didn't wash there, mom said I wasn't clean. You know what? When the Bible says that you are washed, here's what He is saying. You are completely clean. God doesn't miss a single sin. You are clean even behind your spiritual ears, no matter how big the sins are, no matter how small they are. You are completely washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in Revelation 1:5, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. He washed us from our sins. I'm clean. My sins have been forgiven. Sin that used to corrupt me and defile me, that sin that separated me from God when I received Jesus Christ was forgiven and was completely washed by the blood of Christ. Praise God. But you know, the kind of the tenor of these words, the overriding theme, the understanding of these words is this. This is what you are. Now you're supposed to live like it. So he says, when you're clean, you've been made completely clean. The idea is you're to be living like it. You're not to be going back to that sin that Christ died to save you from. And when you do, you need to make sure you get that right with the Lord. 1 John chapter 1 puts it this way. 1 John 1, 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 8 says that if a man say that he has no sin, what is he? He's a liar. Truth is not in him. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here is the truth. When we stand positionally before God, completely clean, every sin forgiven, not one stands against us. Practically speaking, as we live our life, when we sin as a child of God, we don't lose our salvation. We do lose the blessing of a personal, close, intimate fellowship with God. We lose His blessing. And He says, look, you've been freed from that sin. You've been made clean. Don't go back to that which defiles you. Confess it. Get it right with God. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not clean. You are still in your sins. Your sins has defiled you. It has separated you from God. And there's only one thing that can wash your sins away. It's not baptism. It's not your good works. It's not taking communion or having some man, some spiritual man, try to absolve you of your sin. It's only possible through the blood of Christ. But you can be made completely clean through the blood of Christ. He says, first of all, you're completely clean. Number two, He says this. Look at verse 11. He says, you're washed, you're completely clean. Number two, He says, but you are sanctified. He says, second of all, you are completely consecrated. The word sanctified here literally means to be set apart for living for Christ. Now follow me. Before we came to know Jesus Christ, our life was set on the course that was focused completely on ourselves and on our sin. That's how we lived our lives. We really didn't know anything different. That's all we really could do. We didn't have spiritual life. We didn't even have spiritual understanding. And so the course of our life was dictated by our sin. We were a slave to it. And all we could do was pursue sin and that which pleased ourselves. When we received Christ, remember 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're a new creature. We've been created in Him. We have new life in Him. Now there's a new purpose for our life. That's where the word sanctified comes in. We have been set apart. No longer are we to be living for self and for sin. We are set apart to living for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:15 puts it this way, and that He, Jesus Christ, died for all, that they which live, or have eternal life, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead so that we could have His life and then live that life which He has given us for Him, not for ourselves. He didn't save us and redeem us from that sin so that we could go on and continue living in it. We're to be living for Christ. We have a new purpose. We've been sanctified. You know, we go to homes often for meals. We'll go to someone's house and we'll go to their house and they'll welcome us very graciously, and they'll say something like this. Hey, you know, well, come on in. We're so glad you're here. Come on in. Make yourselves at home. Have a seat. Now, I'm a man. When I see a lazy boy, you know what I do? I mean, I'm like a moth to fire. So here I am. Thank you. And this has actually happened to me before. I come and I start sitting down. I get like this and I'll get about right here. And they'll say, not that chair. You can't sit in that chair. That's Dad's chair. Got any Dad's chairs out there this morning? I mean, the wife doesn't sit there. The kids don't sit there. The dog doesn't sit in that chair. That chair is sanctified for Dad. It's set apart for him. You know what? When you take something that is sanctified, it's set apart for a purpose. We understand what that means practically. But I want to ask you this. Have you ever come to the understanding, young man, young lady, adult, hey, boy or girl, if you're saved, your life isn't about you, it's about Christ. And you have been set apart to be living a life for Him. And when you take something that is sanctified, that is set apart for a specific purpose, and you use it for something other than intended purpose, you know what you've done? You've defiled it. And God says, your life is set apart for living for Jesus Christ, and we must live that way. Our life is to be lived for Him. It's been set apart for Jesus Christ. The Bible says, puts it this way, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, reckon or consider yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto who? Alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. My life is different. I'm not to be living for that sin any longer. My living is to be for Jesus Christ. We're completely consecrated. If you're here without Jesus Christ this morning, your life is still set. Your life's direction and purpose, it's been set on the course of death and hell because of your sin and because of your selfishness. It's where you're headed. And yet you don't have a choice but to continue that way apart from Jesus Christ. And that I find so many people, they're looking for some kind of purpose and meaning or peace in their life. And they're looking for it in alcohol. They're looking for it in money. They're looking for it in job security. They're looking for it in so many other things. But you'll only find what you're looking for in Jesus Christ. He can take your life and give you purpose and real meaning. It's only possible through a relationship with Him. He will sanctify you. Set your life apart for Himself. But look with me, third of all, back in verse 11, he says, such were some of you. You were, he said, you are now completely clean. You are washed. You are, second of all, completely consecrated. You are sanctified. Number three, he says, you're justified. Third of all, we are completely clear. The word justified here refers to our new legal standing before God. You see, the Bible tells us that those before we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 18, he that believeth not on Jesus Christ is condemned already. You stand under condemnation because he believeth not on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, we were condemned before God. We were guilty, Romans 3 tells us, all of us stood guilty before God by our sins. However, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says we are justified. That word has a couple meanings. It means to be declared to be righteous, to be acquitted, or to be reckoned to be righteous. We now have a new standing before God. We who were once guilty of our sin and under the condemnation of God, now that has been cleared. It's been wiped away, and we now stand justified with no charges against us. I grew up in South Carolina, so my favorite definition of this word, justified, is to be reckoned to be righteous, because we use the word reckon all the time down south. Now, I know that it's not common vernacular in the Chicago area to use the word reckon, but it's a good word. You might want to consider putting it in your vocabulary. If you've ever had, and I don't know if we have anybody here from the south, but I don't know, very few people have ever had a true, I probably shouldn't do this at this time, but I'm going to anyway, a true Southern fried chicken dinner. I mean, very few people have ever had, home-raised chicken with, in a homemade batter, in the homemade fryer, and the fried chicken, mashed potatoes with butter, half a stick, you know, melting there in the middle, with chicken gravy made from scratch from the drippings of the chicken. And then you've got fried okra and black-eyed peas and you've got cornbread and you've got sweet tea. There's only two kinds of tea in this world, friend. There's safe tea and there's unsafe tea. The safe tea is sweet. And then for dessert you have some homemade fresh peach pie or peach cobbler with homemade vanilla ice cream. Man, you eat that feast. You push away from the table at the end of that table and you say something like this, your mama's a good cook. You know what the proper response to that is?
I reckon.
The word reckon simply means this, to be considered to be so, to be true. That's all it means. I say this reverently. When God the Father looks at Brent Savinsky, He doesn't see my past sin that stood to condemn me. He sees the righteousness that His Son, Jesus Christ, imputed to me when I received Him as my Savior. And God says to me, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Brent Savinsky, I reckon that you're righteous. It's true. Can I tell you something? I'm talking to some Christians today. You've had a horrible past. You received Christ as your Savior, and yet you can't get over the guilt of your past. You keep going back to what I was, and you think that God doesn't want to use me or can't use me, or I'm a second-rate Christian, or you think, man, I just have no hope, and you keep going back to what you were. You think I've got to do somehow. Maybe I can do something to torture myself or make my life miserable to make God more pleased with me. You can't do it. You've been justified. It's been done. You're completely clear. Look at me. If you know Christ as your Savior, not one sin stands against you. Not one. You're justified. You're completely clear. And you don't need to keep living by guilt. You need to start living by grace. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not justified. You're condemned. You're guilty. And if you die in your sins without Jesus Christ, God, in His divine justice, must send you to hell. You say, but He's a God of love. How could a loving God send anyone to hell? Yes, He's a loving God. That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved you so much He provided the only way for your sins to be forgiven and for you to escape the condemnation of God. He sent His Son to die for you. Jesus did it all. How can you say to God, God, I reject Your love, I reject Your Son, I reject Your gift, I want to continue in my sins, and I want to be separated from You in hell for all eternity? God can only, by His justness and by His holiness, His only option for those who reject His Son is to send them to hell for all eternity because of their sin. Because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages or what we've earned by our sin is death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's free, you don't earn it. And if you'll receive Christ by faith, you too can be made completely clear, justified. If you're here today, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you today are completely clean. Live like it. If you're here today, know Christ, you're completely consecrated. Are you living a life consecrated to Christ? Or are you living for yourself? You're completely clear. You've been justified. Don't live in guilt. Live by God's grace. If you're here without Christ, that's not who you are, but it's who you can be if you'll receive Christ as your Savior. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me this morning, please?